John chapter 9. Let's read a couple verses there. I want you to stay there in that chapter because we're going to go through this section. It's kind of lengthy, so we need to stay there. It says in John chapter 9, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.'" Father, we do ask you once more to be with us, that we draw our hearts to your throne of grace. Your Holy Spirit would speak to us this morning. Lord, maybe there's that one this day that needs a special touch from you. Lord, there may be some very difficult problems they're facing. There may be health issues. There might be fears of the society, the social changes, the upheaval that we're taking, that's taking place in America, all kinds of things. But Lord, you're Lord. You're God, and we thank you that you are, and we not ourselves. We ask you to be with us this morning as we look at your word. Speak to us. Help us to see this morning with the eyes of faith. For these things we ask in the marvelous name of Jesus. Amen. I know sometimes it's hard to catch the words, so I'm going to just recant this a little bit for you. It starts out by saying the song, "I was working in town one afternoon attending some business affairs." That's just normal stuff, isn't it? "I heard a commotion a couple streets over. I wondered what was happening there. A young man was running in from that direction. He stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, 'I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way?'" And that was the first thing that caught my ear when I was listening to that. Oh, yeah. He was hurrying home to tell everyone what Jesus had done for him that day. Friends, we've got to get to this point of excitement, enthusiasm in our lives, that it's just there in our life. We don't have to flip through the pages of our memories, but that we're there always to tell people about who Jesus is and what he has done. "And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man. He saw it all." And then there's kind of that little section that says, "My friends, if troubles you carry are heavy and dragging you down," and surely I think that we're probably in that situation most of the time, "you're tired, you've tried everything you could possibly think of, but there's no relief to be found. That very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf, and the lame is still reaching out in this hour of your trouble to touch you, and you'll never be the same." Isn't that the truth? Isn't that a marvelous truth? I thought about that in the sense of when you're talking about somebody who's blind, you're talking about someone who's, something has happened to their eyes. The eye is one of the most fascinating organs that God has ever created. I remember when I was in college, and I really was, they had reading, writing, and things like that back then. I had to do a report, and the teacher that I had, the professor that I had, said, "You can choose from this, whatever." And she said to me, she said, "You know, Mike, I understand that you're a religious person." I hate that word. But anyway, she said, "I'll tell you what, you look and give me a report on Henri Bergson." Does anybody know who Henri Bergson is? I never heard of it. In English, it's Henry Bergson. But anyway, he was a theistic evolutionist. And so his whole idea was that nothing can be brought about through evolution, although that's what he was trying to say, unless God sparks it to begin with. There has to be this control factor. And he used the eyes as his example. And he told me about how delicate, how intricate, the eyes, rods, and cones. If one of those things doesn't work, you're blind. You can't see. I've always thought about, you know, that first little amoeba that crawled out of the ground and, you know, out of the sea, and he couldn't see, but he just kept experimenting, you know, until he got it right. What a silly thing that is. So the eye is a very fascinating organ. I understand that an eagle, because we talk about that, I've said that a million times when I was a kid, I've got eyes like an eagle. Not anymore. That sight 4 to 7 times greater than we have. If you had the eyesight of an eagle, you could read a 3-inch letter sign a mile away. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it be, Dean? Man, that's eyesight, isn't it? Well, the average person blinks 12 times a minute. That's 11,000 times a day. The eye has over 2 million moving, working parts. Isn't that amazing? And the science wants us to believe that this very important, intricate eye is but an accident and a product of chance. No way. Well, we have eyebrows to keep the sweat out. We have eyelids to keep the dirt out. The eye is recessed into a socket to help protect it. I remember that my wife taught me that years and years ago when one of our boys got bashed in the eye with a ball or something, came in blood and everything, and he was screaming like bloody murder. My wife, you know, and then she said, but you have the eye socket that protected your eye. And I thought, well, yeah, this little 3-year-old is really important. He knows that. But one more thing on this occasion. Jesus, who is the great I am, the great physician, was also the great optometrist, wasn't he? He knew what was wrong with people in their eyesight if they were blind. And, of course, the scripture here in chapter 9 tells us a very important thing down there in verse 14. We're going to kind of jump back and forth, but look on verse 14. It says, Jesus healed the blind man. I'll just give you a clue on that. Verse 14, it says, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So this man was blind, and Jesus comes along, and his disciples ask him, who sinned, Lord, this man or his parents? And Jesus said what? Neither. You see, they had an idea, and it's still an idea that's very prevalent today, that if you do something that is just horrendous to God Almighty and his mercy, he might strike you blind, or maybe let that carry over to your children or something like that. But Jesus said, no, this man, he wasn't talking that he had no sin, but what he was talking about was that they were equating this to sin, neither he nor his parents. It's not a punishment from God. Actually, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while his day and night cometh. This is the reason why this has happened. We talked about that just a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning because we saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and they told Nebuchadnezzar that their God could deliver them. Remember that? And they went on to say in that next verse, but if not, if our God chooses not to deliver us, but they said, but if not, we're still not going to worship your idol. We're still not going to do those kind of things. We're going to still be faithful. We're going to still cling to the truth. We're going to honor our God no matter what comes. Friends, but if not, that should be our lot. But if not, I'm going to show the work of God, Jesus said. So verse 4 and 5 tells us that. Verse 6 says this very interesting thing. Isn't it interesting? It said, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Spat on the ground. Let's see. I always have trouble with this word. Go wash or go wash? Go wash. Being from where I'm at, which is never in the same spot twice, I would have said that Jesus spit on the ground. I wouldn't have said spat. And spittle would have just been spit. He made a clay pie. He made a spitball and put on this guy's eyes. Now, why did Jesus do that? Well, I don't know that I can tell you perfectly why Jesus did that. But I think there is some evidence that we might say would be rational in the sense of our understanding of that. This was a test of faith for the blind man. It was a test of obedience for the blind man. Because it said that Jesus made the spittle, and then in verse 7 he told him what? Go wash in the pool of Siloam. We don't have that part, and of course, it's obviously not. But would he have been healed if he had not went to wash in the pool of Siloam? I don't think so. So it's a test of faith. It's a test of obedience. And note very important here is the point that reveals, it should be real. Not everyone has eyesight who have vision. So you know what I'm saying? I'm saying there are people who can see who are blind as bats. And I want to look with you at some of those people. The story is full of blind people. It's full of blind people. In verse 8 it says, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? So one group of the neighbors said, it's him. So you have some group, is this the same guy? How long do you have to bump into somebody before you recognize him, you know? I'm not sure. I don't know. Some said, yeah, I think he is. I'm not sure. 100%, I wouldn't put money on it. But so they're blind as bats too. It's the same guy they've been seeing all along. The only thing that's changed in his life is once he was blind, but now he can see. They're supposed to have sight and they can't see. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing, there's another person there who has to say something. And who is it? It's the blind guy. Hey, it's me. It's me. Yeah, I'm the guy. Yeah, don't you remember me? You know, Pastor Kim, it's me. Well, I think it might be you. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's a sad, sad day when we should be celebrating something that God has done in a marvelous and wonderful way to our lives. Matter of fact, don't raise your hand. Has God done something wonderful in your life? Not 20 years ago, but recently? I suspect he has. I suspect he has. But it's a sad, sad day when we get all caught up in the intricacies, in the minutiae of life, and we forget to celebrate what God is doing in our life. No one came from that neighbor group and came over and patted him on the back or gave him a hug or anything of that nature and said, you know, wonderful. You can see. What do you see? I saw something one time about a person who had undergone some surgery, and for the very first time they could see. But no one was encouraging him that it was a wonderful thing and how to share that. I think to myself, what are some of the beautiful things that you've seen with your eyesight in this world? Lots of things. I've had the opportunity to be out Yellowstone Park. I've been out there in Glacier Park, you know, some spectacular scenery. I've been down on the beach in Fort Walton Beach and saw the sunset. We were out on the balcony taking pictures and going, ooh, and ah, and all that kind of stuff. Because it was beautiful. And then we went over to Ted and Bess were staying at this Army campground thing that's on the intercoastal. And we went over there 2 days later, and we were over there, and talk about a view. We were on the beach. They were one half a mile over, but their view was spectacular of the sunset. How about a sunrise? You know, I like to go hunting. I get out there in the woods. You know, I'm sure people think, oh, yeah, what an idiot gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Tromps out there in the woods someplace, falling over stuff, trying to be quiet so that, you know, it doesn't, you know, deer doesn't see him or smell him or do whatever like that, gets up in the stand, you know. And, you know, when I started wearing my glasses, that was a really, really a bummer because I have this little face mask thing. And you put that on, and guess what happens? Then you can't see. But fortunately, I can take that off because I'm not blind totally. And man, I'm telling you, it's so beautiful. The woods is perfectly quiet before the sun comes up. But when the sun starts coming up and the rays start beaming forward, all the birds, either the birds have got more sense than a lot of human beings, they start praising God. Pretty soon their squirrels come out and they're starting to thrash around and make noise and stuff like that. I kind of want to say, would you guys go somewhere else? Be quiet here, you know. And there's one particular stand that I go to quite a bit. Around 8:30, something like that, depending on time of year, the sun is so bright coming from that way that you have to shield your eyes. But it's beautiful. So there's that group of neighbors that were blind. But there's another group that's also blind, and that's the Pharisees. And you know, we've been hearing a lot about Pharisees and sundry things in the news nowadays. I think that Mr. Comey, who used to be the director of the FBI, is getting to come to Congress again, I think, or something like that. The FBI, I always kind of thought the FBI was, you know, that Eplin Zimlis Jr. guy, you know, straight arrow, you know, wouldn't spit on the sidewalk. But now we kind of know that maybe not. So I got to thinking, this is my warped mind, I know that. So you have the FBI, but you have the Pharisaical Bureau of Investigation as well, don't we? These guys are investigating stuff all the time. And so here you got the neighbors. They don't know if it's him. Maybe it is. Oh, well, no. You know. But the Pharisees down there, and again, the Pharisees ask him how he had received his sight. Verse 15. He said to them, he put some clay upon my eyes and I washed and do see. These guys, this man who in verse 1 says, when Jesus saw a man which was blind from his birth, these Pharisees were blinder than he ever thought about being. They had no common sense, none whatsoever. This could not be true, that the man that was born blind, that Jesus could spit and make some spitball and put on his eye. Couldn't do that. What was the first reason they cited? It was the Sabbath day. This would be working, of course, on the Sabbath day. And they were constantly in battle with Jesus over Levitical law. Did you know that? Constantly. And the Deuteronomic law. Constantly. You thought there were 10 commandments, right? There were, the Pharisees thought there were 613. Yeah. How do you, you know, you've got to fix dinner on Friday before the Sabbath day because you can't work on the Sabbath day. If, Barb, you were at your house on the Sabbath day and you were obedient, observant Jewish woman, and you saw some crumbs on the table and you wanted to pick them up, what would you do? How could you do it? That's a good idea. Yeah. My grandmother always had an apron on. Did yours? And she would have went, put the stuff in the apron. She'd walk out on the back porch and she'd went like that. Did you know that the Pharisees had a rule against that? You couldn't do it this way because that would be the natural way that you might want to do it. If you had to do it, you could go like this. And of course, Jesus was talking to them about the donkey in the ditch and all kinds of things. These people were blind as bats. We've got people right now living in our society. They're driving cars. They're doing things. Some of them are going to vote and all kinds. These people are blind as bats. They don't know what's going on around them. They don't know what's happening to them. They don't know what's taking place day to day in their lives. President Trump the other day celebrated with Bibi Netanyahu, somebody from the United Arab Emirates, somebody from Bahrain. What was it? They signed a peace treaty with Israel, recognizing Israel's right to exist. I watched as much as I possibly could. I never once saw that on the national news. Never once. I saw all kinds of other stuff. Never saw that. I think some of these folks are blind. They can't see something good happening right in their midst. We've had all these people over all these years trying, doing all these marvelous, wonderful things to try to get peace in the Middle East. And now we've had three nations, actually, these last two, one before, signed a declaration of recognizing Israel as a nation in their right to exist. Do you know that in Islam, you cannot be at peace? Did you know that? Can't do it. Now, you can sign a paper that gives you a temporary ceasefire. Basically, what that means is we're losing and we need to reload. But they can't make peace. But they did recognize Israel, and of course, we're calling that peace, and it is a great step forward. Remember, I think it was Jimmy Carter had Menachem Begum and Anwar Sadat came to Camp David, and they signed this historic accord, Egypt recognizing Israel's right to exist. It was on the news night and day, front and center, every which way but loose. But we didn't see this at all. Of course, we did see Anwar Sadat get assassinated, didn't we? Many people think that that was the straw that broke the camel's back for radical Islamists in Egypt. So him signing that paper, he was signing his death warrant. The family that was the mother and father of this blind man. The Pharisaical Bureau of Investigation wanted to interrogate them too. Now, let me just ask you, have you ever been called in by the FBI and they wanted to hear a statement from you on whatever your action were or whatever? And if they told you that we'll come tomorrow, pick you up, bring you over, did you sleep well the night before? No. So the Pharisees, just by being who they were intimidating this family. The Pharisees were bringing the family in for questioning. And they asked, "Is this your son?" The parents said, "What? Yeah. Was he really born blind?" Yeah. "How does he now see?" Questions one and two weren't so bad. They had enough integrity of heart, mind, and soul to say yes to that. But question three, "How does he now see?" Their reply was, what? "He's a grown man, ask him." What would we call that? Did they pass the ball? "Yes, he's our son. Yes, he's been born blind. Yes. What? Go ahead and ask him. Why did they do that? They were terrified. They were afraid. They could have said, "I don't know how he who was blind from birth now sees, and it's wonderful." But they didn't say that because they were afraid. You see, when the heat is on, sometimes it reflects something of who we really are. Somebody says it shows our mettle. Unfortunately, sometimes we are so blind, we don't even realize the heat is on. But it's on, friends. It's on. I think who just died, Supreme Court lady, Ginsburg, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I don't know this, of course, but I think she was trying to hold on to her seat in the Senate, as a Supreme Court justice, so that hopefully in November we'd get a new president and they'd get another one just like her. She had some good doctors, but she still died, didn't she? There's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. You know, I don't know about you. I don't think I'm hypersensitive about anything. I'm pretty dumb. I don't recognize sometimes when people are trying to say something bad about me. I'm just, you know, okay, kind of thing. But have you ever thought about that, standing before the judgment seat of Christ? Now, I know the Bible teaches and promises me that because I have placed my faith and trust in Christ, that my sins are forgiven. And he's going to be my attorney. He's going to usher me into eternity. I know all that kind of stuff. But, you know, is he going to ask a few questions? What about so-and-so? I've been trying to forget that for a long time. What'd you have to bring that up for, Lord? What about this thing? What about the time that you could have responded in this fashion, and then, you know, like 3 or 4 days later, you realize, oh, my, what an opportunity the Lord laid before me, and I just walked right by. I'm thinking to myself, then it'll be a wonderful, marvelous experience, but I don't know that it's not going to have some effects in my heart, and maybe your heart too as well, that there are going to be things that God might bring up that you're not going to be all that proud of. And you're not going to just say, oh, glory, glory, glory. You're going to be being a little bit quiet. But you know one thing? I've never had the power to say life or death to unborn babies. And that the scripture says are precious unto God. Well, the parents here, they were just normal folks. They were scared. They showed the cowardness that they had in direct opposition to the courage that their son had. Listen, it's always hard to stand for the truth in the face of intimidation. That's why the Nazis in Germany could never have gained control if good men and women in that country would have just stood up and said, no. We're seeing the face of evil on our streets. We're seeing it going along and in the crowds, in our Congress, in our Senate. In verse 27, he answered them, I have told you already, and you do not hear, the blind man said. Would you hear it again? I love this. He's starting to get a little bit of a moxie to him, isn't he? Would you like to hear it again? I've told you my testimony a couple of times now. Would you like to hear it again? Because do you want to be his disciple also? Woo! Okay, he finally got there, didn't he? He might have been a little bit timid. He might have been a little shaky at first. But finally, over and over and over and over again, he said, listen, I'm tired of this stuff. I told you what happened. The best I can understand, Jesus did it. And you must be so filled with questions and want to know this investigation so much because you want to be his disciple too. Well, I like that answer. But the question of question comes down there in verse 40, doesn't it? It says, and some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. You know, I saw an old Western movie one time, and the actor I liked a lot, but he, in his part, his role in that particular movie, he had to say these words, I'm not a disciple of that gentle Jesus. I've always thought, I wonder if we've met Jesus face to face, and we had the opportunity to shake his hand, what kind of handshake would he have had? We used to have a man in this church. People would run from his handshake. He had hands of steel. I told him on numerous times, Ellis, you got to be careful, man. You know, I think you're just shaking hands. But crunch, you know, be careful. He worked all his life. He worked all his heart. He had hands of steel. Listen. I'm thinking to myself that this kind of thing is like that. Now, I want to finish with this little thing. I've said it before. Martin Niemöller, he was a prominent Lutheran pastor in Germany during and before Nazism took hold. But Niemöller, most people, I'll read you this little thing here in a minute. You'll recognize it. He was actually in sympathy with the Nazis and the Nazi party. His thinking only changed when he finally was put in Dachau, and there in Dachau prison, concentration camp, tortured for the little bit of truth that he held to, God opened his eyes again to the truth and the power of the gospel. Would that Martin Niemöller, a prominent Lutheran pastor in Germany, would have rose up years before and said, no, we're not going the way of this dictatorial anarchy that's being brought to us by this man called Adolf Hitler. We're not going to stand for that. We're a Christian nation. We're going to put God first. We're going to put the scriptures in their right place. And we're not going to stand for this brutality. We're not going to stand for these guys. What if he would have done that? I don't know. Some of you probably said, well, he'd been killed. That might be true. But you know what he wrote that became so famous. He said, they first came for the communist, but I was not a communist. And I said nothing. Then they came for the socialist. I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, but I was not a trade unionist, so I did not speak out. They came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out. Friends, that can happen here in America. Don't think it's impossible. We're teetering with all this stuff. We're flirting with all this stuff. And people are so blind, they can't see. Good people. People who have some wits about them, they're still enamored and drawn in by these things. Niemöller only came to a fresh vision of his commitment to Christ, in a prison camp. Oh, I hope that doesn't have to happen to us. Well, this little song by the... Has anybody ever heard that little song? Oh, good. I'm glad, because I'd never heard it. I think Sonia was talking to Donna on the phone. Somehow or another, she transferred her the song. And Donna said, oh, yeah, we've heard them people in person. It's a great little song. Well, listen, if you don't believe me, if you have some doubt in what I'm saying, then believe the blind man. He saw it all. Believe the word of God. It reflects truth always. Always. Believe it with all your heart. Stand for it with all your might. And do not waver in the face of intimidation and fear. We must. Judgment begins at the house of God, not with the unbelievers. It's our task. Father, thank you for your word. Whoa, what wisdom, what power did Jesus display? And everything he did and what he said, how he worked, how he healed, he did the miracles that just overpower us. And Lord, we were praying that you would work in our lives to help us be kind of like that blind man. That we would see and we'd say, it's me. I can see it's me. It's me. And we would testify to what God has done in our lives. And that's what we're standing on, that truth, proclaiming it to the world. Father, even here this morning, even in this place, if decisions need to be made openly and publicly, this altar's open. Father, you speak to our hearts. Don't let us leave this place today the same way we came in. Let us see with your eyes the needs all around us, the opportunities to give for service all around us. For these things I ask in that blessed name of Jesus. Amen.